Beloved friends, before announcing the text, I take the liberty to just speak a personal word to the praise and glory of our God. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, said that I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I go back in my memory to the first day when I stood in this pulpit, the first Sunday in April in 1958. The reading that morning was Romans chapter 8. Dear Mr. Carr, though by reason of his mind not able to preach, but sat at the desk and gave out the hymns. He was so blessed with that reading that morning that when I concluded in prayer, he got up and said how he'd been blessed and said, "Let us sing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." It was a sweet, sacred time of praise and blessing. And throughout all these years, my coming in and out among this dear people, in measure not encroaching in the pastorate whatsoever, but just as a friend, sharing with them times I've been here when there have been illness, serious troubles, when there's been deaths and bereavements, and all through I've received such love and kindness they're bestowed upon this unworthy sinner. From the very beginning till this moment, I have felt much at home with you all, and thank you all for all your kindness, liberality, and help to this unworthy sinner throughout the years. And whilst you have heard that by God's grace I've been able to continue in taking the anniversary service for over 40 years without a break, I acknowledge nothing of myself. I am an unprofitable servant, but it's by the grace of God, having therefore obtained help of God, we continue unto this day. I trust your pardon, this personal word. It is to the glory of God, and I felt the occasion was suitable for me to just name it in your hearing this evening. Seeking now the all-needed help of our God, we will turn to the Word of God. And I've just lost my text, just I have to find it for a moment. But it is the text is, yes, I found it, Revelation chapter 14 and a part of verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, and these three words, the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. These words laid on my mind a day or two ago, and since coming among you, they have been named to me once by your dear pastor in his home and also in the service two or three times. The Lord direct us in our meditation from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, great God, how infinite art thou. What worthless worms are we. Let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. And oh, to know this God as our God, my Father, my Saviour, my Comforter. And oh, to rest in the sweet assurance of that love from which there is no separation. And also go forward in faith and be thus to say, this God shall be our God forever and ever, and will be our guide even unto death. Everlasting will take us back to to eternity past. Here we stand on ground so solemn, so hidden, and yet in measure revealed. Faith believes it, that in the purpose of God, that there was a covenant made, there was a provision made, there was a book written, and in that book the names of all whom He, Almighty God, in His sovereign purpose and grace, chose, His divine right, their names in that book, and that covenant ordered in all things and sure. A covenant is made between two parties, but here it is not made by God and man. Man would never fulfill, could never fulfill any covenant of this nature concerning salvation, but it made between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this will never be broken. It will never fail, because this God, our God, lives forevermore and is the faithful God, as has been named in the services today. The everlasting gospel. But there is then a provision. The Lamb slain from the foundation, before the foundation of the world, in the purpose of God. There was the gift of the Father. There is the dear Saviour to come. There's the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. God loves His people so dearly that the Trinity are, I say it with deepest reverence, involved in their salvation. And in it is everything. You say, I'm such a vile sinner. I am full of sin. There's no good in me whatsoever in my flesh. That is true. But in Him a fullness resides. Everything needful, my dear friend, pardon sin, to clothe you, and to strengthen you, to help you, and to bring you at last prepared for a prepared place in glory. Now this purpose, this everlasting gospel from eternity past, is gently, if I may put it reverently, revealed in Old Testament times. For example, we go to the fall of man. We see the awful state of man as God says, Adam, where art thou? He hides himself, no hiding from God. Be sure your sin will find you out, beloved. You may put it under the mat. You may make all sorts of excuse. But my friend, if it's sin, it's sin. And there's no turning from it, no way of our cleansing it of ourselves. But whilst in the deed of those solemn words that God made, there was the promise of the one that should come to bruise the serpent's head, the everlasting gospel. Again, there man is naked and makes himself aprons of fig leaves. But God takes the beast and slays them and takes the skin and clothes them. I see blood shed. I see that points to me. The same words here, that the gospel, the everlasting gospel. Go to, and I take these points just briefly, we take them step by step. Go to the mount where we see Abraham. We see him and his son. We hear Isaac say, Father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? We hear this godly patriarch say, My son, God. Do you parents speak to children about God? God will provide Himself a lamb. The text declares here everlasting gospel. Just view that scene. Isaac. Knife in hand for Abraham. voice calls. Isaac freed, the ram offered, death, blood shedding, Isaac living. The everlasting gospel pointing forth to one yet to come. I love to think of Abraham's faith, but I love to see substitution. I love to see dear Isaac standing there living, and not that one, not his blood shed on that altar, the ram. And that's what poor sinners taught by the Spirit long to know and will know. If the Spirit begins in your heart, you will be brought to know it, because there's no other way. Go another step to the Passover night. Take a lamb, and I've named it before. The dear Bishop Royal says, a lamb, there's the flock. There might be 20 of that type of lamb, age and suitability without blemish and spot, but it's just a lamb. Just then it comes a lamb. It is the lamb. It's not just the others are left there, but the lamb is the appointed lamb. And then the third thing is your lamb. It's you. It's your son, your firstborn. That blood is to be put on that doorpost and lintel. And there, when I see the blood, not that I see that you're a Jew, you're an Israelite. No, when I see the blood, there's no substitute for it. But blood is a substitute for the sinner. That's how I see it. The gospel. And I see this in another simple little matter. When the ass brought forth its firstborn, that little ass, the babe, should live, a lamb had to be sacrificed. If it wasn't, the neck of that ass was to be broken. See it, substitution. Go on into the wilderness. See the Israelites writhing in pain, agony, because of their sin. They're murmuring against God. And God has sent, broken down the barrier of defense. Now the serpents that had never bitten them, they hadn't probably seen one, had come. And death is going through the Israelites. Mark, friend, many died before they looked, before the provision was made. Aren't you amazed that God hasn't cast you to hell? I am. Now, there was one serpent, no venom in it, no poison in it. One only, set high. They all could see it. Even the extreme end of the camp, even the one that was just gasping his last breath, to look, and that look was the look of life and the look of power. As Moses hears the gospel, everlasting gospel, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must, oh, what a must that is, must the Son of Man be lifted up. Go one more step to Jericho. What's that line of the red cord out of that window? What's it doing there? Ah, there's a vessel of mercy there. There's one whose name you're going to find in the 11th of Hebrews of faith. I have perished not with them that believe not. Look at it, friend. Is that not the gospel? Behind that, there was no alternative. Nothing else could do it. But it was safe. There, that was displayed. And behind that line of the scarlet thread, she and her dear ones were safe. Preserved. The walls can collapse, and the enemy can be destroyed, the city can be burned down with fire, but these are to be brought out in safety. Oh, blessed be God, the glory, the everlasting gospel. And so we go on to a next point, very briefly, and that is to the promise of the Messiah. Set forth unto you, a child is born unto you, is a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Let me just quote it. You will bear with me in my old age. My mind does fail me at times, and I'm conscious of it, but I would like just to make sure that I've set that in order, in the right way, according to the very word of God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that's it, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And do you know what else will be on the shoulder? The lost lamb. found on his shoulder. Wonderful, isn't it? You think that all, and yet that lamb carried on his shoulders. I must just go on now. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, and speaks of Bethlehem, thou Bethlehem. Ah, this is the place where the Messiah is coming. Now look, from Malachi day, darkness, tribulation, trial, love growing cold. Much history we don't know. At least I don't know it. But my friend, the day is coming. The appointment is coming. The forerunner is here. He's going forth. He's preaching of one to come whose shoe latches he's not worthy to unloose. But he's preaching. And as he preaches, he sees someone coming. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But I've gone a step too far just there. I come back to that amazing scene of Bethlehem. The everlasting gospel, the unfolding of it, the gift of heaven, the dear Saviour of sinners, the gift of the Father. And what a gift, no greater gift, more holy, more pure. You think of this world in its all its, and you think of your own evil heart, deceitful heart above everything and desperately wicked, that here to this earth should be one sinless, spotless and holy. It could never be found on the earth. All the sacrifices of old could never do it. Stars, they're not pure in his sight, but it is God that comes. It's God in that manger. You say, but it's a man. It's a babe. Yes, it's the God-man. It's still God, but the babe, sinless, holy, pure, that holy thing. And what's he doing in a manger where the cattle eat? Because there's no room for his heart. Unless God takes hold of me, and I believe he has, there'd be no room for Christ. But, oh, friend, we go to that sacred spot. I love the incarnate mystery, and here would fix my trust. Oh, how sweet it is to go to Bethlehem, and behold the things that the shepherds say. And what did the shepherds say? Well, we've got it here. Haven't we? The everlasting gospel. He says, "I bring unto you good tidings. Fear not." Let me get it exactly again, that we might have it correctly in your hearing. As the shepherds were full of fear at the sight of the angel, the voice of the angel, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you." You? Is it? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Think of how he loves you so much that he should give the Son of his love to sinners so vile as you and I. And he's come. "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Oh, what wondrous love. Again, I must hasten on a little bit. Never man spake like this man. Who is this that opens the eyes of the blind? Who is this that dare, if I say it reverently, dare touch a leper? Who is it that cast out devils? Who is it that raises the dead? It is this dear Jesus. And oh, this everlasting gospel, I see not only the literal healing, I see myself, I see you as filthy lepers and leprosy from head to foot. And oh, to come, you say, "I am that leper, dear Jesus." Then have you sought the Saviour? Have you come to Jesus? Do you say, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean"? You have the faith to say, yes, he can do it. But you haven't the faith to say, he will do it. Now, why? What does Jesus say? And I think your dear pastor quoted the words right at the end of his discourse. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." This man receive this, and this is the everlasting gospel that's been preached for the 200 years and is preached now by my beloved friend here and other dear ministers of the gospel. My friend, there's no other ministry, no other gospel, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's amazing grace, isn't it? It's beyond our comprehension. And don't you love him? Don't you walk to him? Don't you, as it were, go to him as you do? What about that dear woman? You hear me say it so often with the issue of blood. Oh, poor soul. She's got nothing left, but she's got the issue of blood. She hasn't got any money left. She's no one to go to. Ah, oh, but she's heard of Jesus. Ah, well, will he receive? Ah, but I'm going. I must go. Woman, you're unclean by the law. I must go. I will go. I will venture. If I ask him to receive me, will he save me? Nay, not till heaven and not till earth pass away. This man he won't cast out. And my friend, she reaches, she touches, and virtue goes out. She's the somebody. Crowds around him, but she's a somebody distinct from all the rest. And my friend, a coming sinner to Christ is that somebody in this way in faith, because you need him, and no one else can help you. Lord bless you. The everlasting gospel. But wait a minute. There's still a sacrifice to be offered. There's still blood to be shed. And it is this dear Saviour. It's this sinless one. It's this holy one from heaven. And he speaks of what he will suffer at the hand of man. And there, upper room, he speaks, as he goes to the cross, speaks of heaven. We'll come to that in a moment, maybe. But then from there to the prayer for the Father, the everlasting gospel, I pray for them. I pray not for one of those dear ministers, Mr. John Gosden, I understand he said, I heard him say it about that poor, poor world. I pray not for that world that thinks they've got all the riches and all the pleasure that they need. Poverty. That dear saint that may have hardly anything or may have more, it includes all, has Christ. That's everything. 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 Father, I will that these also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now, I mentioned that book. I mentioned the names in that book. There you've got it. Those whom thou hast given me. And through that chapter and that prayer, read it, I think, four times. Those whom thou hast given me. I give them eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Oh, my friends, look at it. You'll find with election side by side evidences that will encourage you, find you out. It does. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? You praying unto him, crying for mercy, my friend, that finds you out. It's you. I've told you before, I've told you of that man that years ago in Scotland, I think it was, an old pensioner, and he said, there's a book in London. I've never been to London. I've never seen the book, but I know my name's in it. How do you know it's in it? He said, because I get my pension. If you receive blessings from heaven in your soul, if you have an aching void the world cannot fill, if you're on the stretch for Christ, my dear friend, if you come, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling, that's your name is in the book of life. Now the Lord lead you on and will bless you. But I say, go on from that prayer to the garden and see that the words of the God in Genesis 3 of the effect of sin, of the sweat of thy brow and so forth. Now, what's this blood? What's this sweat? I speak so solemnly. Drops of blood. It's the Saviour. Why is he in agony? Because he knows he's going to drink a cup of wrath. He knows he's going to suffer. He knows there's going to be a traitor. He knows there's one another going to betray him. Another says, unless I see and put my finger in those print, I'm not going to believe. Goes forth, knows all about you. And there apprehended, the cup that my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it, said the Saviour. Wonderful, wonderful. He'd done it. Went forth. No hand risen to help him. No one standing by him. We don't forget the women standing afar off. Neither do I forget the Apostle John toward the end, witnessing his death. But, my friend, Peter's not there. The others are not there. But Jesus was with Peter. Ah, look at it before he goes out to that cross. He turns and looks upon that man that denied him with oaths and curses. I know it was a look of love. I know it was a look of pain and sorrow, maybe, but it was a look of pardon. I pray for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. This is the everlasting gospel. Haven't we failed in our witness at times? Haven't we been afraid of man? Of course I have. Then again, all the sufferings of the cross. But there, the everlasting gospel, see it, a trophy of God's grace. There, as you would never think it possible. And it's the same for everyone born again. It's impossible to man, but it's God's power. But I think of that one with his fellow, both deriding the Lord, a life of awful sin. But now, oh, behold the everlasting gospel. Behold the change that is wrought. I see the eyes of this man is opened. And I see, instead of casting horrible words against the Saviour, he's looking to the Saviour. He's also saying that we indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he turns, then he comes, and he speaks. He speaks to Jesus, the one he's derided. Man, you've no right to go to Jesus. You should be cast into hell. Ah, but so great is his mercy that he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what does the dear Saviour say? Verily, look at that word, verily. Verily, in my blood it's sealed. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, the everlasting gospel. Oh, my friends, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there as I, so vile as he, washed all my sins away. Or you may have said, there may I. Pray it on, pray it on. Pray for that time of love you've just been seeing that shall surely come. His time of love will come, and each shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. But go to Calvary. See, my friend, those wicked people passing by, deriding. Look at those soldiers down there, gambling. Look at the people. We've got gambling gens in Croydon. I see them flocking there, and nobody, not flocking to come to our chapel. And you read of all the awful, I can't think what they call this awful gambling thing, with millions available, and people going crazy in the hope. Oh, my friend, what is that filthy money? I know money is needful, and God will supply what we need. But, my friend, we've got a treasure that will never fail. It's in heaven, and one day we'll be there to receive it. But I say, then suddenly darkness. I don't want to be imaginative, but I have explained it sometimes in a solemn meditation I had. I should think those that pass by must now be silent. Absolute silence. Perhaps the groans of the dying, but darkness. The hidings of the Father's face, the powers of darkness, all seen, and even the literal sun hiding its face. There he drank the cup of divine wrath for you, for me, his dear children, for me. The dear Saviour didn't die of exhaustion, you know. When that work was done, he laid down his life. Man couldn't take it. He laid it down as the good shepherd of the sheep. And there, he said, and I love that word that I read in the opening of Scripture. Jesus, knowing that all things were, on one occasion, because I thought I was there. When you say, what do you mean? I mean this. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, that is, that every vessel of mercy should be called by grace. And I have the sweet persuasion he's called me by grace. And therefore, for every vessel of mercy, that we can say, he knew that those for whom he died would come We'll come to that in a moment. Then he cried, "It is finished, it's done." And there, this everlasting gospel proclaims the blood, the invaluable blood of Christ, that is sealed, as it were, or marked by his deity, the preciousness of it, the power of it. "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." Oh, the wonderful blood of Christ. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, don't lose it, his Son cleanseth us from all sin. There's a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. This is the everlasting gospel. This is the way that sin is pardoned. And the everlasting gospel takes you further to the empty tomb. He proclaims that sacrifice on the cross is a finished work. That justice is satisfied. The law is met. And it tells me this, that death is conquered. And that those that die in the Lord, that the death of deaths, as I quoted, I think, dear friend, sinking, death of deaths and hell's destruction. It's not a word of solemnity like being afraid of death. It's a word of triumph, my friend. It's victory. It's a title of Christ, death of deaths and hell's destruction. Land me safe on Canaan. It's victory. It is glory, the everlasting gospel. And Christ is risen and ascended to glory, and that he's in heaven, this same Jesus, interceding for us. Oh, I must hasten somewhat. My dear friends, and the blessings that flow, all spiritual blessings flow from this. And here we see the work of God's grace in sinners' hearts. At the everlasting gospel, we see light. A light that shines in the darkness of your heart and opens to you your loss. The majesty and holiness of God, the justice of God, and yet shines on Calvary's cross, on the way of salvation, and is everlasting light. It won't be like the lamp of the hypocrite that goes out. When the Lord comes, it shines, it's everlasting light, and it is the light of life, everlasting again it comes. Everlasting love. Ye must be born again. Our dear friend spoke of it this afternoon. And then following that, you have what I've just spoken of. When we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, blessed God, blessed word, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's have it now in the possession of spiritual life in the soul, which is the foretaste and the pledge of heaven at last. Oh, beloved, this is the gospel that has been powerfully preached, and we love it. I know no more. I'm coming, must be near the end. I don't know how long. All I pray is, Lord, if thou dost spare my life and my lisping tongue, I should try and preach Christ. There's nothing else to live for. When I say nothing, I love my family and care for them as much as I can. My dear people, yes, that's all in the service of Christ. But my friend, as for the pomp of the world, as for the things of big things in my house, I don't want them. I don't need them. I want Christ. And I say, therefore, it's everlasting life, everlasting light. And then I was going on to this, that is everlasting love. Look at that. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn. There you are, the elect, drawn. There you've got the token. Ah, my dear mother-in-law, not brought up as a strict Baptist, the Lord blessed her with that word. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And she spoke to one of our dear ministers, and he said, now, he encouraged her, said, now, if that's yours, he'll be with you to a dying day. And she told us about it. On a Sunday morning, she'd had a bad night. Doctor called. Hospital is needed. But just before they would take her to the hospital, I was able to pray for her before going to chapel myself to preach while my wife went with her to the hospital. And I said to her, do you remember that? She said, yes. She's resting on it. My friend, it's proof. It's love. Everlasting love. Oh, wonderful. And I say, we proved it true, everlasting love. And it's really amazing that while my wife was just waiting for her to be admitted, she passed into glory. Wonderful. Proved it right to the end. And so will you. That love isn't a changing love, you know. Isn't a hot and a cold love. Ours is. It's a faithful love. A love that certainly will correct us, but all in love. And then I think of faith. You see, this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've sent another Spirit, Comforter, which will abide with you forever. He'll be your teacher. He'll take of the things of Jesus and show them to you. Look at the provision that God has made. And with this precious life, this spiritual life, there's the gift of faith. And this is a faith that will never die. You may say, I haven't any faith left. I believe, my friend, if you're a child of God, I'm sure that though you may feel it almost gone, you know, underneath it all, you've got some hope you can't give up quietly, entirely. And that faith, though so low, yet you still have a hope. Great God, to thee I make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope address thy awful throne, though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair. For who can tell? Who can tell? My friend, that's the gospel, everlasting gospel. And God feeds this faith. I love to think of that. You say, how do you mean feed it? I mean the blood of Christ. Christ himself. The promises. All that he's promised. It feeds. Faith's got something. Faith hasn't got to lead out on something it doesn't know. Something in the dark. It's something revealed. It's something real, vital that you could lay hold upon. My faith, I believe it's quoted this afternoon, my faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand, and there confess my sin. And I see here salvation. I see Jesus that saves with an everlasting salvation. I see here the redemption. And that redemption, I'm lost, I was perishing. I was belonged to Satan and sin, but a price had to be paid, a ransom price. It was blood. And he's shed it, he's paid for me. And then again, I see myself in filthy rags, but that to be taken away, because there's a robe of righteousness, that my sins were imputed to him, were laid on him. He lays on me, not my filthy garments, he takes those away. He puts me in that glorious dress, that white robe, spotless and pure. Oh, my friend, this is the gospel, the everlasting gospel. It is for eternity to come, and so we might go on. Oh, the rich blessings. And then again, I think of the changing scenes of life. Yes, your daily troubles and trials. And that's all bound up in it, you know. What about this word everlasting? Right, let's take one. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath, oh yes, you see, I'm sinking, I shan't get up. Oh yes, it's so dark. I shan't get through this. God says, underneath are the everlasting arms. You'll never sink beneath them. They're there, my friend. They're ever there to carry you, bear you up, support you, uphold you and keep you. Oh, friend, the provision that God makes. What about grace, then? My grace is sufficient for thee. What about strength? Well, everlasting strength. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 26, I think it is. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, for his mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Friend, the Lord Jehovah is what? Everlasting strength. Now, don't be dismayed or think that's wrong, because you come to a point where you can't go on. I say you can't go on. And yet you are just helped on. And God brings us down to weakness to make us prove the strength that you need. And it must come from him. It's not creature strength. Man so proud of all his abilities and gifts and thinks he can do this and get out of that. But my friend, we're going to be stripped of it at times. And none to help. I'm perishing. What shall I do? Where shall I go? To whom can I turn? And my friend, it's to this God, the everlasting strength, reference there is rock of ages, a rock that's cleft for a poor sinner to hide, a rock that can never be removed. And though you may be shaken about, but never off the rock, as one of our dear ministers used to say, safe in that rock, the rock of ages. But I must come to my closing thought. Now, the everlasting gospel will take us to what our dear friend closed with this afternoon. I don't want to do damage to what he so ably set for. But I want just to try and speak of it, because eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for him then that love him. So death, you know, I've seen and I've witnessed dear saints die fearless of death because they rested in Christ. Rested in Christ. Now, here is the assurance, his presence in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that can be a literal experience, providential and spiritual on earth, but the literal death itself, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, for death shall never sever me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that. And then again, I think then of his coming again. Is the bridegroom, has he forgotten? Hardly like to tell you that, but you know, we think of awful things sometimes. He'll forget the bride, he'll forget me. Sometimes a bridegroom may forget the bride, and sometimes the bride may forget him and even her child. But O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. But he's going to come, he's going to gather this bride, and there's most will be in the grave or in the dust scattered on the face of the earth. A few living, but all together gathered up. I preached on Thursday at home that together with Christ, that is redeemed by his blood, and together with them gathered up as one to be with the Lord forever and ever. And there, my friend, to enter into that glory that we cannot speak of adequately, whilst as much clearer that on the negative side there's no pain, suffering, darkness, temptation, sorrows, parting, sea, anything like that. But the glory is the Lord Jesus, to see him as he is. And because my body is changed and fashioned like his glorious body, therefore I'm not consumed. Therefore I can enjoy it. I shall see him as he is. And when by his grace I look on his face, that will be glory for me. And the glory will be laid, or the crown on his dear head. Oh, it will be. Oh, what a glorious prospect there is. The best is yet to be. And there have been some best here on earth sometimes. I'm sure in these 200 years there have been some sacred times when your cup has run over, when you've been filled with the love of Christ, when the harp has been taken down from the wellers. Not many times, but just a time when sometimes perhaps you've been in the fire and the Lord has been with you. And yes, you've sung his praise, but there, my friend, it will be unending. It will be not a cloud between, not a ray of unbelief to rob us of the blessings. And there, as your soul has been fed and watered here on earth, so you receive of those living streams. As your tears have flown sometimes, not literal, sometimes some of us don't weep so easily as others, but the inward grief, all will be wiped away by that hand of his love, that hand of his grace. He loves his people. All be gone. And then the song. Oh, it's the everlasting song of praise and glory unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Oh, then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, while heaven's resounding mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. Oh, the wonder it will be. And the wonder of wonders will be to be there ourselves, a poor, vile, lost, perishing sinner, redeemed by the blood, faultless before the throne, clothed in those robes of white, faultless before the throne, walking in liberty, praising God. Oh, my friend, what a blessed prospect it is. I must stop because of the time. Oh, the Lord bless thee, few thoughts tonight and throughout the day. And bless you, dear people here, and every cause of truth here represented. You know, there will be partings on earth. Some of us have known it when dear ones are taken. But some on earth, in glory some, severed only till he come. Amen.
Oh. Following the benediction, we shall sing the doxology to the praise of Almighty God. And if any friends have not yet had one of the books for the chapel history, there will be some more available at the chapel doors as they leave. And also, if any friend wish to take one away for a particular friend who they might feel would be glad to have one, please feel free to ask the deacons for more than one. So, shall we now sing to God's praise the third hymn on the hymn sheet, Gadsby 730, June Diadem 130. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. We too amid the sacred throng, low at his feet would fall. The third hymn.
Thank you.
bless. Gracious God, thy own word this day. Do forgive all that has been wrong. Take us under thy safe care. Bless this dear people, all gathered here this day. Bless us as spared on thy day. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen.
Praise the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.